Hey guys, welcome to the brand new episode of Astrophysica's podcast. This is Aman Mohan and with me Shweta. Hi Shweta.
Hi Aman. Hi guys.
Great. So guys, today we're going to be talking about a new branch of astronomy, which is known as optical astronomy. So optical astronomy basically refers to an area of astronomy where astronomers observe and analyze light from the universe that falls within the wavelength range that the human eye is sensitive to using telescopes.
And astronomers analyze light, which is nothing but electromagnetic radiation, in order to study the universe. And we all know telescopes, right? So telescopes basically collect light, and the data collected by these telescopes allow astronomers to learn about specific astronomical or celestial objects. And that helps them to develop better theories about all three, that is past, present, and the future of these objects and the universe in general.
That's true. But you know, human eyes also collect light. But the thing is, they collect far less light than telescopes can. And they're really sensitive to light at specific wavelengths. So the light that human eyes can detect is referred to as visible light. And we call it optical astronomy because it uses optical elements such as lenses and mirrors, etc.
Yeah, that's right. Because human eye is only capable of so much, right?
Yeah.
But everything has a beginning. So where did this all begin, if you ask? So, Lippershey is the first recorded person to apply for a patent for a telescope. We all know it was Galileo, but it actually isn't. But based on uncertain descriptions of the telescope for which Lippershey tried to obtain a patent, Galileo made a telescope with about three times magnification the following year. And he later made many improvements to it, obviously.
Right. So, you know, with the Galilean telescope, the observer could see magnified upright images on Earth. It was what is commonly known as celestial telescope or spyglass. And Galileo could also use it to observe the sky. And for a time, was one of those who could construct telescopes good enough for that purpose.
Exactly. But larger telescopes are indeed necessary to study the details of large categories of sources, right? In the case of quasars, a bigger survey with a bigger telescope is essentially required because they are very faint, at least in the optical wavelengths, and they're also infrequently seen in the sky.
Oh, and a larger telescope will tell you how bright the objects really are in the optical, and a deeper infrared survey over a long period of time will provide a larger sample of quasars to study in order to discover more detailed information about their norm.
Yeah, and studies in the time domain will also provide information in an area, say, with a serious gap, like how astronomical sources change with time. In particular, we take stars. So the assumption that astronomical sources don't change has been disproved over and over again.
True. And a prime example of the impact of the time domain astronomy is NASA's Kepler mission, which is looking for tiny changes in light coming from stars as planets transit to them. And the scientists have found thousands of planet candidates already using Kepler data and are continuing to research the data for more candidates.
Yes, that sounds really exciting though.
Yeah.
So we get highest quality data and pictures, and they are obtained via space telescopes, which are basically telescopes that are outside of the Earth's atmosphere. So why do we need space telescopes, if you ask? Because it allows for much clearer observations, because the atmosphere is not disrupting the image and the viewing quality of the telescope, which means that objects can be observed in much greater detail, and much more distant or low light objects may also be observed.
Yeah, and additionally, this means that observations are able to be made at any time rather than only during the night. And given the limitation on the size of mirrors in space, a prime advantage of telescopes in space is that they are able to produce sharp images, high-resolution images undisturbed by the atmosphere from the ground.
Yes. So we have this really cool database, which is called as SDSS, which is the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. You might have heard of it, right? So the SDSS has created the most detailed 3D maps of the universe ever made. And that too with deep multicolor images of at least one third of the sky and spectrum for more than 3 million astronomical objects.
Yeah. And the SDSS is one of the largest, most detailed and most often cited astronomical surveys that has ever existed, with the goal of expanding our understanding of the large scale evolution and structure of the universe. And the formation of stars and galaxies, the history of Milky Way, the nature of supermassive black holes, and even the science behind dark energy.
Wow, that sounds really cool. So the SDSS, if you ask it, began regular survey operations in 2000, after a decade of design and construction. It has since then progressed through several phases, and each of these phases has involved multiple surveys with interlocking science goals. So all the SDSS data is eventually released in full to the entire astronomy community and also to the public under open use principles.
Yeah, and we are slowly learning to do this with adaptive optics technology. And adaptive optics technology constantly measures the distortions in the atmosphere that cause interference in the imaging of objects in space. And the telescope then uses corrective optics to account for and remove the distortions, creating an image that is equal to the quality of those taken by Hubble above the atmosphere.
Ground-based adaptive optics still have, you know, shortcomings compared to normal optics in space, but adaptive optics will soon be found on all of the large ground-based optical telescopes.
Yeah, that's true. So guys, that's it for this week's episode. So see you all next week with a brand new episode. And until then, this is Aman Mohan signing off with Shweta. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.